from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. No, it's not Austin Adams. No, it's not Shea Stadium Langoliers. It's Juan Soto, the generational. Pay that man. Blank check that boy. After the Yankees get embarrassed, humiliated in game one, there was one guy that said, I have the power to change this. I can put the team on my back, though. Three homers, and it's like, this guy's going oppo. And as the Yankees do the, like, all eyes on me pointing to their eyes, he's not getting on base. He's taking three trips around the base paths, powering the Yankees to a win. And just reminding everybody in baseball that this is the Centurion. This guy is worth every dollar he's going to get. And he can take over a game just like that. 888-808-1019. We got to watch the Juan Soto show on the south side of Chicago in full effect. And what I loved about it was all that you heard from Ryan Rucco, Flash, Meredith. They all talked about him. I think Rucco said 620. Before the game, he's in the batting cage. Game starts at 8:10. He's 6:20. He's working on his swing, working on his craft. And that's what I'm talking about when I said, like, the Yankees didn't come out with the right intensity the first game. They weren't prepared. Seemed like they took it lightly. Juan Soto didn't take game two lightly. And I don't think he took game one lightly. I think he was just pressing because he put on his own vision board, his own goal sheet, to homer in every ballpark. And I think game one, he was just trying to do it every swing. And he got back to his fundamentals. And I'm watching right now on SNY, this guy hitting it to left field. It's a blessing to see Juan Soto in the Yankee uniform. It should continue, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. Again, my main takes that I put out there, this team does not look like a World Series contender. When you look at the rotation, when you look at the bullpen, and some nights some of the holes in the lineup, and guys like Alex Verdugo popping up bunts and then telling you in the post game, yeah, whatever, first time I've done that. Like, you know, no, it came from me. Boone didn't tell me to do that. Oh, it's just another bad day. Jazz Chisholm gets hurt. And before I get back to my World Series talk, let's talk about Jazz. 888-808-1019. This is deja vu. Just off the top of my head during a break, I'm like, this has happened before in recent time. The Yankees trade for Edwin Encarnacion. He gets hit by pitch. The Yankees trade for Andrew Benintendi. He gets hit by pitch. It's like these guys come to the Yankees, newly acquired. They barely get to play, and then they're hurt on the IL. Even Matt Carpenter, who wasn't a trade deadline acquisition, was a guy they picked up off the scrap heap. He comes in, he's Barry Bonds for a couple months, he gets hurt, comes back, he's not the same. So now with this Jazz situation, which sucks because it's like, how did he get hurt? He got hurt trying to bring some intensity, trying to bring some type of spark to the team. The last run that they scored in that 12-2 drubbing, he hurts his elbow, sliding in, showing the athleticism that the Yankees lack, and now you don't have that. So what are the options? Oswaldo Cabrera coming up, John Birdie coming back, or Oswaldo Cabrera playing there every day, Oswald Peraza coming up, John Birdie coming back, trying to get Ahmed Rosario, I guess. But it's just like, it was a weak trade deadline, and the biggest acquisition of the deadline was Jazz Chisholm. He made the immediate impact, which gave you a higher grade, and now he's unavailable. 888-808-1019. And I really feel like he had to go all out like that because you squandered opportunities in the first couple innings. Maybe if you actually were able to capitalize, maybe if you were actually able to drive runners in and get on the board, maybe he doesn't have to go all out like that. I mean, it is what it is, how it happened. There's no way to, you know, redo it. But that happened in the fifth inning. The Yankees had plenty of opportunities the four innings before that where maybe Jazz doesn't have to go all out sliding like that, trying to beat the throw from Nicky Lopez, and ends up hurt. And it's just our luck. Adding injury to insult. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ezra in Monroe. Ezra, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, appreciate whatever you said. You're 100% right to what you said. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of breaking up, but I can hear you.
Got it. Good. So, let me go up with it. So, basically, you're speaking about, you were talking about Alex Verdugo being the leader spot. So, my opinion is, with having Alex Verdugo on the leader spot, so Soto, basically, Judge can come up and do their job properly. But Alex Verdugo is, basically, I don't think he's having the best year what the Yankees expected him to have to be, the best former he's coming from and experience and everything. But I think for, in the beginning of the season, if you remember, we had Boone was consistent with a lineup, having Volpe play leadoff, and then their battle, then Soto, Judge, and from that on, basically, they had the Phoenix pass versus Alex, and they changed it to Stanton, they changed it to, they keep switching it around. I think I don't think we're going to get a chance to basically have a 28 this year. I think it's going to take more time. I think we're not going in the direction that the Yankee fans are expecting us to go.
Thanks for the call, Ezra. From what I can make out from what you were saying, listen, I don't want Verdugo leading off necessarily. A lot of Yankee fans were calling for him to be benched tonight. I knew that wasn't going to happen because heads never roll. Nobody ever gets held accountable. It's not that serious. It's serious to you on Yankees Twitter. It's not that serious to the Yankees. Like, Verdugo's play and then his following comments, they don't care. They don't care. They got smacked by the White Sox. They didn't care. We care. We're the ones that have to wear that. We're the ones that have to deal with that. We're the ones that have Mets fans actually trolling us for losing to the White Sox like that before they go on to lose four in a row. Whatever. Verdugo at the top. I mean, I made the joke in my open about dog eat dog world. Every dog has its day. There is no more of that woo, 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 beware of dogs, right? Before they started doing the I celebration, getting on base, getting a single, getting a double. It was the dog hands. That is gone. They're not some dogs anymore. You don't hear Verdugo talking about being a dog anymore because he's getting dogged. Like, he's got no confidence. He's played like dog S. Whether it's diving for balls, whether it's popping up bunts, whether it's grounding out to the second baseman, leading the league and ground out to the second baseman. Like, I don't know. The year that he's having is not the year that Aaron Judge was hoping that he would have when Aaron Judge told Cashman to go get him. But they die hard on their trades and their contracts. I've been saying that for 3 years on the Fan. Because dying hard on your trades and contracts basically is saying, we're going to see this through until we're right. On the trades that we make, on the contracts that we give out, we're not going to go back on those. We're not going to bench guys, cut guys too soon. We're going to see it all the way through because eventually, we're going to be proven right. 888-808-1019. Now, Volpe, I don't want as the leadoff hitter. You shouldn't want him as the leadoff hitter either. He's struggling now in the bottom of the order. Gleyber Torres, not a leadoff hitter either. And unfortunately, Jazz Chisholm, not available. And they got him. And the first thing I told my boy Caesar, who's a Miami Marlins fan, is good, he can lead off. And they didn't put him there as leadoff. They put him in the bottom half of the order. Now he's not available. So Verdugo's going to be the leadoff hitter. Or Torres when they play the matchups righty-lefty. And I don't think that's stopping. I don't think so when you talk about the consistent lineup too, Ezra, about, you know, I don't think it's 28 this year. Now let me go back to the World Series conversation I was having around Juan Soto before I went on the tangent with Jazz Chisholm and the injured acquired players that the Yankees have had, it just seems like it's part of every story every year. They get a player, the player gets hurt, and the player's not as effective in the postseason. Let's see what happens. Hopefully it's not a long IL stint for Jazz, and hopefully he comes back and he's still hitting home runs and running hard and can play third base. But with this whole World Series thing, the Yankees have just as good of a shot of anybody in the American League to get to the World Series this year. With Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, with Gerrit Cole, hopefully Rodon is pitching well, Luis Gil is pitching well, Nestor, Stroman, these guys, just for these next 2 months, they have as good of a shot. This bullpen has been absolute garbage. If you look up the numbers just in the last week of all the runs that the bullpen has given up, it's miraculous. It's like, really? I thought that this was the Yankees' strong suit. I thought every year Cashman put together a great bullpen of journeymen and randoms from the clearance rack bargain bin. It's got to be better. And I think they're going to work on it around into form. But, like, I also think they could be a first-round exit. I think they could end up being a wild card and losing a wild card round. That's on the table as well. And if that happens, you better go out and sign Juan Soto. And I've been on the fan saying this as well, because I don't know why people ask the question, hey, Keith, if the Yankees win the World Series and lose Juan Soto, would you prefer that over the Yankees losing the World Series and keeping Juan Soto? Or, like, not making it to the World Series and keeping Juan Soto? I want the World Series. I don't know how long I'm going to live to see another one. I was sitting there with my wife tonight watching the game, and they're doing the promo of the 2009 team coming back with Matsui and Mark Teixeira, Robinson Cano. I don't know if all these guys are coming back. I know A-Rod's coming back. That made news. But I'm like, wow. Like, I remember going to Old Timers Day in like 2013, 14, 15, back when they used to actually play the game. Now, like, not for nothing, now I refuse to go. They're not playing. I don't even want to go off on a tangent on why they don't play the game and, like, why they, like, literally zapped. COVID happened, and that was like, well, we don't got to do that tradition anymore. I'm like, that was our thing. I remember being in the fan cave in 2014 and the cave dwellers watching Old Timers Day with me, and they're like, this is sick. We didn't know the Yankees did this. Like, this is, this, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Mariano Rivera's play. They didn't. I'm like, you didn't know that the, like, old guys actually come back and they play like a slow pitch softball style game, whatever. I don't want to go anymore. And I was thinking back, I'm like, man, like, I was in my football house in 2009. I had just turned 21. I met my wife and really started, like, hanging out with my wife that year in college. And we watched the entire run through October in that college house. I watched the World Series in my college room upstairs on an old TV where the back of the TV went out like 3 feet. And I'm like, man, fast forward now, 15 years to Old Timers Day. We're celebrating that team. I'm like, yo, time is burning. Time is burning. They got to get back to the World Series. Like, I went from being a 21-year-old college kid thinking, nah, I'll get a job in the city. I'll probably see 2-3 parades in the next 10, 15 years. Nah, I'm not going to get on the train from Long Branch to New York Penn Station for parade day. It'll be better when I'm living up there, working up there. I'll just go to the next one. It's not guaranteed. I didn't know baseball was going to change as much. I didn't know the Yankees' philosophy was going to change as much. I thought, all right, we won this year. We can win back-to-back. Time flies. Like, I got a whole kid now. Life has changed. Life is different. I had no idea where I would be. Back then, I had a radio show in college called The Midnight Run. And I was the C mic. I was the third mic on that show. Anyway, back to the phones we go. 888-808-1019. Talking about the Yanks. Talking about the Mets, it's all right in front of them. The expectation for the Yankees is obviously higher than the Mets, but it's all right there still. And we're going to live and die with every pitch. 162 one-game seasons. We're all going to lose our mind over losses, lose our mind over losing streaks. But then ultimately you got to come around to the next day is the next day. The next opportunity is still there. and you got to look around the league and see what the teams are doing around you in the standings, and it ain't over till it's over. You're not out until you're mathematically out. Ray is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray? You're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, my G, I'm glad that you alluded to those trolling-ass Mets fans, because I was going to have a little fun and at their expense. But first, I want to say something that has a lot more substance and value, you know, than what I can possibly say about the Yankees or the Mets. And I'm going to preface by saying I respect Bruce. You know, he's a legendary caller, pretty much. He's been calling since I was a kid. I'm not a kid right now, by the way. I'm 44 years old. I have a 21-year-old son in college. So, Bruce, you know, I respect you. I'm sure you respect me. Sometimes when I come off the air after making a point, you come on and say I made some good points. So there's a mutual respect there. However, what I will not have is the slander for my guy, Alstine Throne, who is trying to make a mark for himself and, you know, a little niche for himself in his business. And, you know, we got callers, legendary callers calling up and basically calling him out, you know, for his honesty and integrity as far as sources are concerned. You can't call somebody a liar if you don't have any proof. That's number one. And number two is, if you're going to call somebody out, you know, when Al, he does his job with nothing but the utmost class, dignity, and integrity. He treats all the callers with respect. I mean, the man is a good person. You know what I'm saying? So, and I, you know, I know him a little bit. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the relationship me and Al have is like Craig and Aaron Boone. I know it's funny. Craig used to always say, hey, you know, me and Aaron Boone are best buds, but all we do is text each other. We never met in person. Right now, that's the case with me and Al. But through everything I know, everything that comes through on the air, the man has class and integrity. So I don't, you know, and he's trying to carve his niche here in his game. Yeah. And you know what? Hold on. Keith, WFAN took a big step in terms of, like, inclusion and diversity when they hired you. And they took another necessary step when they put a Boricua brother on here, too, because that was lacking. So why are we going to try to tear him down for his integrity?
I don't know if Bruce, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't recall exactly how Bruce said it, and I didn't hear Al's show.
Yeah.
But I know he was talking about the Juan Soto thing, and I guess Al said something about having a source around.
Right, and Bruce questioned it. He said, I don't think he has a source. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he said, essentially. I don't think he has a source. I think it's just speculation. That's exactly what he said, actually. So when you say stuff like that, you know, you're implying that he lied about having a source and about the integrity of the take that he puts on the air. Yeah. And I'm not going to have that. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I respect you, my brother Bruce. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it seems like there's a mutual respect, but we cannot do that. We can't, you know what I'm saying? We can't call somebody out like that. Anyway, moving on to the method. Keith, I wanted to keep it lighthearted, so I was going to start off like this. Adios. Oh, my God. With a G-A, bro. It's not even God, G-O-D. It's G-A. And you know, I'm Latino, so I can make fun of him. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I'm tired of these trolling as Mets fans, too, just like you talking about, you know, oh, you guys lost to the White Sox. Why don't you take care of your own house? You know what I'm saying? Worry about your own house. Like, you guys are 3 games over .500. I'm going to throw some stats on you, you know, at you Met Clown fans. The Yankees lead the league in plus minus. The Yankees have the most wins in MLB, tied with, I think, Cleveland. And the Yankees have the best record against teams over .500. I think it's 43-28 or 43-30. Nobody even talks about that. The talk used to be a false narrative about how the Yankees can't beat good teams. But when you look at the record and you look at everybody's record against teams above .500, only one team stands out. It's the Yankees, not the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are second, you know, but nobody else. And we play in a tough division. We don't have the Marlins and the Nationals. Otherwise, the Yankees might have 90 wins by now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people, you know, these Mets fans, and I never do this. I'm not this guy, you know what I'm saying? But I am tired of it. And another thing, you were alluding to a couple of, like, you know, crazy takes by some of the on-air personalities. I'm going to tell you one thing. And Hoff, you alluded to Hoff. Hoff, if you're listening, right? And I tell people to their face. I tweeted at you. You responded to me. I call you. And we have a back-and-forth conversation. Did you hear this take, Keith, about what Hoff said, like, 2 weeks ago, that the Yankees will barely make the playoffs, but they won't go anywhere because their locker room is broken and fractured and they have no leadership?
I think somebody sent something like that to me on Twitter, but I didn't hear it live. And
yes, that was his Sal Licata moment. Like, he will never live that down. I've been killing him ever since on Twitter. And when I call him, I'm going to let him know, too. But, yeah, you know, the most important thing I said today is, like, let my brother Al live, man. Like, you know, the guy has class, dignity, integrity. He's got enough going on. He's trying to make his mark here just like you did, Keith. And I, you know, I take offense and exception to that. I won't have it. I appreciate you allowing me the time to, you know, to say what I had to say. You have a great night, brother.
Thanks for the call, Ray. Like, I don't know. You know, I really, like, I can't listen to every hour of WFAN. It's impossible. I don't know everything that goes on. I obviously hear, for the most part, what goes on in the midday and afternoon. I never really hear the morning show unless it gets clipped and put on social media because that's my time to sleep. I'm on the team here, and I try not to disparage anyone else. It's one thing to have fun back and forth, especially when people proclaim things and put things out there for all to hear. But all in all, like, I don't know. I didn't hear Hoff's take about the Yankees. I think someone did send something to me. Listen, what I say is that these takes have to evaporate, but not everybody comes in here thinking about, yo, what you say on this radio, you can't take back. What you say on this radio, somebody is jotting down. What you say on this radio goes to podcasts, goes to the Odyssey app. We have a digital team that's going to write it up, put it on the internet. Somebody's going to retweet it, bookmark it. Some guys have no shame. They don't care about living things down or not. But I've been saying for a couple weeks now, we got to pump our brakes. We got to chill because we're so quick to try and get to the finish line. We can't do that. We don't know. Like right now, you know, with Tommy, positive Tommy, like he's running out of things to be positive about. Even I came in tonight with a bunch of notes and things to try and like spin the, I can't spin the Mets situation right now until they win a series, like, at home, until they put up runs, until they put it all together with the rotation, the bullpen, and the lineup. Like, I can't even, I can try and tell you Dednell Nunez is coming back, and Starling Marte is coming back, and there's just more bad than good when you look at the schedule coming up and you look at the teams around them. It's just not great. But like with my guy Tommy, he had a whole week, which I came on Sunday and I said, man, I'm happy for Tommy and I'm proud of him because of the amount of work and hours he put in. And he almost was like thrown into the fire, you know, with what happened with Sean and his family. Again, you know, God bless Sean Morash and his family. That's a terrible situation. Like, I don't even want to speak on it, you know. But Tommy was thrown into having to, you know, take action and sit in the power chair and host with Tiki, and he took it on. And, you know, many people could take that on and be submissive. Many people could take that on and lean more on Tiki. No, he stood on business. Now, some of his takes, they're not going to wear well. Don't make your plans for October or don't make vacation plans for October because the Mets will be playing baseball. That, we're not so sure about that. They're two games out of the wild card today. Tommy DeVito should be the starting quarterback of the Giants week one. That's preposterous. Off of the first preseason game? Aaron Judge has less homers than Pete Alonso since 2019. Irrelevant. Meaningless. Has nothing to do with anything. It's cherry picking. What are we talking about? Malik Nabers is going to be the best wide receiver in the history of the Giants. Malik Nabers is going to be better than 95% of the receivers he's on the field with. Like, Tommy said all of that in a week. We got to chill. Now, Malik Nabers is hurt. Drew Locke is hurt. Like, we got to chill. We'll talk a little football, too, with Tyrone Tracy getting hurt. You know, I do want to talk about injuries in the NFL, and I do want to talk about how close we are. Now, man, once we get to this Sunday, Fanatics Fest, this Sunday I'll be live from Fanatics Fest, 12 to 3. I encourage you to show up. People are complaining about what the tickets cost, and it just shows me that you guys don't go to these conventions and these things. Like, the Pinstripe Pride event, to take a picture with Lou Piniella was $100. I don't know who paid that. Like, that's what these things are. It costs. You, I mean, You can get in for a $50 ticket for a day. But if you want to have a VIP experience and all this, like, the Fanatics Fest, what they're putting on is ridiculous. It is going to be the biggest sports convention we've ever seen in this city. I'm trying to go Friday to support WFAN. Saturday, I'll have to be with my family and be a dad. But then Sunday, I'm going to be there live 12 to 3. I encourage you to come for no other reason besides to lay eyes on all of the WFAN hosts, to see what we look like in real life, to see how we walk, how we talk to people, how we interact, how we look. Because the radio, a lot of times you guys hear us, you don't see us. And a lot of people can fake it on the radio and put on a certain bravado and act. And you see people in person, it doesn't match up. Like, I really do encourage you to pull up and see your favorite radio host at Fanatics Fest this weekend. 888-808-1019. We'll talk a little football. Jets and Giants, Hassan Reddick, Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall. The guys are out at Jets camp. And the Jets just, you know, they look like they had their Jets Fest. And everything is all great until... Who knows what's going to happen? And with the Giants, injuries are hitting. But injuries are hitting the entire NFL. It's part of it. It's football. It's a rough-ass game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
New York. Right back at it on The Fan quickly here. Keith McPherson till 2 a.m., and it's almost 2 a.m. I think I've got like 15 minutes left. On The Fan, 888-808-1019. I said I wanted to sneak in some football conversation about football is rough. It hurts. Smash mouth football. It's a physical game. And guys can get hurt when they don't even get hit. All this talk about playing in the preseason, it does not matter. Protect your assets. I don't need to see Daniel Jones play coming off an ACL injury. I don't need to see Aaron Rodgers play coming off an Achilles injury. For what? Why put them in harm's way in a spot where there are guys that don't want to play and there are guys that are playing like their careers depend on it? You feel me? Like, there are guys that don't want to be out there because they know it's fake football. It's not real football. It's exhibition. And there are other guys that are like, this could be my only shot to make an NFL team. I saw Gerard Mayo from the Patriots. He put it like this to his team because they're finding organizations for fighting, like the $200,000 fines that the Giants and Lions got. And he said, for the starters, if you get in an altercation, you're going to play the whole preseason game. And for the backup guys that are trying to make the team, if you get in an altercation, you're out. You don't get to play in the game. And just this week, you know, I saw Shefty put out a tweet. Jahmyr Gibbs has a hamstring injury. Lions running back. J.J. McCarthy's knee injury went from knee soreness to he's out for the year, need surgery. So the Giants will definitely not face him in week one. It'll be Sam Darnold backed up by Nick Mullins. Malik Nabers will be good to go week one. But, like, it's a reality check. As superhuman as that man has been in camp, speed, athleticism, hands. I don't know if you guys heard the story about him having hands that were too big for gloves as a kid. Couldn't fit the, you know, gloves as a kid. He was trying to get gloves. He messaged Odell Beckham Jr. about having the hands too big and where to get gloves from. And fast forward all the years later, coming out of LSU, being drafted by the Giants, Odell Beckham checks his Instagram messages, sees a message from 11, 12-year-old Malik Nabers. Interesting. Marquise Hollywood Brown had an injury, had to go to the hospital. Tyrone Tracy was just lifted off the field in an air cast and carted off the field. Rondale Moore had a scare. There's this stuff happens in practice, man. One of the Dallas Cowboys offensive linemen broke his toe in the Rams preseason game. Guys are going to get hurt, so it's just a part of the game. 888-808-1019. Let's talk Giants with Dwight in Asbury Park. What's up, Dwight?
Hey, I think your boy Daniel might pull off a 3,800 passing season. What do you think?
He's definitely not my boy. And I don't know. I don't want to put any numbers on him besides. This is the only number I've been putting on him. Can he get to 20, 25 passing touchdowns with these weapons? Like, can Malik Nabers have a season where, as a rookie, he has, I don't know, 7 or 8 touchdown catches? And then also Wandale Robinson has maybe 5. That puts you at 13. Jalin Hyatt goes deep, catches maybe 5 touchdown passes. That puts you at 18. Then you mix in maybe 2 from Darius Slayton.
I think Nabers might be in the conversation for rookie of the year. What do you think?
Oh yeah, he's already in the conversation, but he's got to get his targets, he's got to get his catches, he's got to stay healthy, he's got to get in the end zone. It's not guaranteed that he has to get in the end zone. Garrett Wilson won it with 4 touchdowns as a rookie.
Oh, I think that boy might be the new and improved Odell. So
I think so too.
I'll definitely be watching for him.
I think so too. I think he's bigger, faster, stronger than Odell, and Odell is a little bit of a prima donna. This guy is a dog, straight up. Thanks for the call, Dwight. You know, like C.J. Stroud won it last year. It's going to be hard to win it as a non-quarterback. But when you look at the quarterbacks drafted, like, Jaden Daniels, he took that bet that he had with Jaden Daniels back off the, supposedly draft night they had a wager for $10,000 who would win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then he took it off the table when he got drafted by the Giants. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is getting the highest of rave reviews out of camp. Most people are saying Malik Nabers has had a more impressive camp than Marvin Harrison Jr., but sometimes your name gets you drafted in certain places and gets you the nod. His dad's a Hall of Famer. 888-808-1019. Michael Penix Jr. is not going to start. Drake May is not going to start. Who else am I missing? J.J. McCarthy is not going to start. Bo Nix is not going to start. No running back is going to – why can't Malik Nabers be Offensive Rookie of the Year? Brock Bauer's going to beat him to it. It's all about Daniel Jones staying healthy. It's all about that offensive line, protecting him, keeping him upright. And the Giants surprising some people. Oh, who am I missing? Caleb Williams. The number one overall pick. Caleb Williams should be Offensive Rookie of the Year with the weapons that he has around him. That's it. You know, I don't know. I'll probably be too tired tonight. I got to get to watching Hard Knocks.
Maybe Marvin Harrison?
I said Marvin Harrison Jr., but most people are, saying like, oh, he hasn't really wowed folks in camp. He doesn't have as many highlights as Nabers. Also, Nabers was cooking Cordell Flott and Deontay Banks and rookie Terrion Arnold and Kirby Joseph. I don't know. Not taking anything away from Malik Nabers. I think he's like that. I think he's him. I think he's a dog. Romo Dunze is just not going to get as many targets as DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I don't know. Why can't he be Offensive Rookie of the Year? Somebody's going to come out of nowhere. Like Brian Thomas. Watch Brian Thomas get a bunch of passes from Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson's offense. Or Xavier Worthy. Watch Xavier Worthy's going to go crazy with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. He's just too fast. He's just going to get behind safeties too much. And Mahomes has the arm where he's not outrunning his arm. Mahomes is chucking that thing 60 yards in the air. Easy. Easy. Here's a sleeper pick. Country boy. Xavier Leggett. Why can't Xavier Leggett be the number one receiver for Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers? I know, they're going to be trash. They're going to be trash. Here we go. NFL is coming fast. Like, I'm already opting out of fantasy drafts. I have a league where I'm in the chat, and I'm like, listen, I'm going to be live on air. I can't do this draft at 8 o'clock. It's a $250 league. He's going to put me at a disadvantage. And I'm like, can we change it? And they're like, oh, everybody, that time works for everybody else. I'm like, oh, I guess everybody else works regular jobs or, you know, when 8 o'clock at night on a Thursday comes and the Yankees are off, they're at home. I'm like, I don't want to give up my team. I've won this league. This is the league I was in with some baseball guys, Cameron Maybin. I beat Cameron Maybin in the final 2 years ago. I'm like, I don't want to give up my team, yo. Especially because it's mostly baseball people and I just have an advantage against you baseball heads. Not you guys listening, but the guys in the league. I'm like, you guys are more baseball guys than football guys. I'm going to draft better than you. I'm going to be on that waiver wire before you even think to be on that waiver wire. When it comes to the playoff time, I'm going to make the right trades before the deadline. I'm going to have a better team than y'all. I don't know where I placed last year. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Here's another sleeper pick. Keon Coleman. And everybody's talking about how do the Bills let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy? They didn't want that style of receiver. But all I'm hearing about Keon Coleman coming out of camp is Josh Allen trusts him. Everything he throws his way, the kid catches. And Keon Coleman is different. I'm a Florida State fan, low-key. Not as big of a fan as I used to be. But like that's why I was telling you Brian Burns is a problem because I saw him at Florida State as a freshman. Keon Coleman, I saw at Florida State. He won me some money, too. I used to bet on him to just score. He was returning punts to the house. One-on-one, catching fades to the house. I think he's like that. I think he very well could be in the conversation for Offensive Rookie of the Year. How many Sundays to go? 3 Sundays? We got 3 Sundays from this Sunday, the 18th. 1, 2, 3. And then bum, 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 bum. NFL is going to hit us right in the face. And we'll see what the Mets are doing. We'll see what the Yankees are doing. But it doesn't matter because in this country, from what I know, once football starts, football is king. Football takes over. And I was having this discussion online. I think I had this discussion the other night on air. And I don't want my baseball fans to take any offense to it because I know a lot of baseball fans, they are just baseball fans or they are just Mets fans or they are just Yankees fans. But like, baseball is in third place, and it's really not close. It's really not close. I remember looking at, even with the NBA, I think the Celtics finals run, I think it was a Mavericks-Celtics game on a Sunday night, and for some reason I thought that Sunday night baseball could rival that with the television ratings. Dodgers-Yankees could somehow rival the NBA finals. It wasn't close. It wasn't close. I think the NBA Finals had double, maybe even triple the people watching than Sunday Night Baseball, a regular season game. We'll see what happens. Everybody always talks. I just was on a call today with some folks out in L.A. talking about, oh, yeah, we need that Dodgers-Yankees World Series. Everybody does. Major League Baseball would love if they could somehow engineer that. They would love it. We all need it. It would feed generations. It's not going to happen. This is not going to happen. Let's go to Philip in Middletown on the Fan. What's up, Philip?
Keith, what's up, brother? How you doing?
All good. Bringing it home. I got 4 minutes.
Yeah, all right. I'll be quick. First of all, Middletown guy, I remember you from Red Bank, Red Route, doing all that stuff.
Did you go to North or South?
North. I'm a North guy.
Did you play football?
Baseball. I was a baseball guy.
I was about to say, I set the record for touchdowns against you guys. I think my senior year, I had 6 touchdowns against you guys. It was
Easy. Yeah, well, I know all the boys, Shalit Calhoun and No'Shawn Marino.
I played in the Governor's Bowl with No'Shawn. Freak of nature, that guy.
Anyways, real quick, let me just put this in there. I feel like the Yankees are that type of team, and I feel like this has been for a few years now. They play down to every single bad team they play against. But when they play against the good teams, like they do all right. Like the Phillies this past a couple weekends and the Rangers, like they played well. It's just when they play the bad teams, they stink. I hate it.
I don't know. C-Mac's coming up next. He's going to hate that take because I was listening to C-Mac's show last night. And he's like, how come in the beginning of the year when the Yankees were playing the good teams, everybody was saying they could only beat bad teams. Now, in the end of the year, people were saying the opposite. You know, even like this is what I said. The Phillies, even though their record is good, even though we know the names in their lineup and their rotation, they're in a slump. The Yankees caught them at the right time. And the Rangers, Rangers are a third-place team. They haven't been having a good year. Yeah, they're the reigning World Series champs, but the Yankees barely beat them. I don't know. I agree with you, though, as far as, like, the first game in that White Sox series 2 nights ago now, there's no way in hell that the Yankees are supposed to get pummeled like that. I felt like they just...
No, not at all.
They walked into that ass-whooping because they took them lightly.
One more thing, though, real quick, Keith. Brothers Daily in Seabright, New Jersey, used to be where Rory's was. My bartender there, come through, please. We'll give you some free drinks.
Oh, whatever you want. No doubt, no doubt. I could definitely get that done. And I'm like that. I'll pop up when you least expect it. Like, a lot of people have reached out to tell me to come places. And when I'm back home,
yeah,
I'll show
Seabright.
Up.
Seabright, New Jersey. You know where it is.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is. Thanks for the call,
yeah, come
fella.
Through.
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks,
Brothers
Keith.
Daily. Later. Yeah. Short conference. Sure thing. That's a lock. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I pulled up on my boy Z at Carvel. Dwight just called. I'm yet to pull up on Dwight at White Castle. Cause you just gotta be on one to pull up to White Castle trying to get the Crave case at 1 a.m. My homies at Mario's Pizza in Hoboken, I pulled up on them like 3 times. There's a couple other people that have either called in or hit me online like, yo, come through. And it's not that I'm collecting freebies. I go in there and I spend money straight up. Like, I'll take a freebie, but I'm still going to buy something. I'm still going to put, you know, I'm showing love. I'm showing support. Like, people show me a ridiculous amount of love, man. I just try and get that love back. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much going to be the show. The Yankees, anyone can get got, right? I talked about the Mariners tonight. Granted, they faced Tarik Skubal. For the Mariners to be, you know, coming off the sweep of the Mets, and all I kept hearing was, got to look out for the Mariners. The Mariners have a pitching staff. All of their pitchers go 6 innings. They've got a great bullpen. Now look at the lineup. Look at the lineup. Like, they had 3 hits tonight against Skubal, and those weren't all against Skubal. The Detroit Tigers had 20 hits, put up 15 runs on the almighty Mariners. Anybody can get got. Skubal goes out there tonight. He did give up all 3 hits. But he gave him 6 shutout innings. No, he gave up a run, too. You know what I'm saying, though. It's just a bad night. It's a bad night. It happens. Mets got to bounce back. Yankees bounce back. But the Yankees have Will Warren on the mound. We don't know if they're going to win this series. You lose this series, that's a stain. And for the Mets, there are folks trying to estimate what this homestand needed to be for the Mets. Like, oh, the Mets got to go 5-1, or, you know, the Mets got to go whatever it is. I don't know how many games are in the homestand. There's more than 6 games in the homestand. I think there's 9. 5-4, I think I meant to say. 5-4, I think it'll be fine. You're 0-1. All is not lost. It ain't over until it's over. The math is still mathing. Okay, you dropped 2 games out. You got to win those 2 games and hope the other teams around you lose. And the Jets aren't going to trade Hassan Reddick. They just got to hope that he shows up for those game checks week 1. And it's a staring contest until then. I know if it was me, though, and my job was on the line, I'd just avoid the headache. But they're not going to trade him. C-Mac is coming up next. He's going to rock till 5 a.m. I'll be back to do the same thing quickly after game 3. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN New York.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.